Okay, we're doing the book of Koheles, otherwise known as Ecclesiastes. We're up to what's called the seventh chapter, the fourth pasuk. And Shlomo HaMelech had said, Tov kas misecho. We had seen last time, Shlomo HaMelech said, it is better for a person to show his fellow man that he is upset with him, to be honest with him, rather than sechok, that he should laugh with him and make believe everything's fine, ki v'ro'a panim yitav lev. Because if you express what you feel and you allow the person to defend himself or to make amends, so then yitav lev, ultimately you will come to peace with the person. And that was one answer. I'm saying that was one interpretation in the pasuk. Now we're up to the next pasuk. Leiv chachamim bevet evel velev kesilim bevet simcham. Leiv chachamim. The heart of the wise. Bevet evel. Literally it means in the house of mourning. The simple reading here is that the wise think about the destruction, they think about their passing, they think about what's yet to come. A person should buy life insurance. People get married and they figure, I don't need life insurance. They have a kid or two and they figure they don't need life insurance, and that's a mistake. After 10, 15 years, you already own your house, things are different. The first years are critical and they're so cheap. And people don't buy life insurance. It's one of the critical mistakes people make. Young couples can buy life insurance, like I said to someone, for under 100 shekel a month. You could be insured to close to a million shekel a month. So why not? It's not a big expense and people don't do it. Leiv chachamim, a wise person thinks about Beit Evel, about the fact that mourning is something that will eventually come. So he plays life in accordance.
Youth is wasted on the young.
Belev kisilim, and the heart of the fools is beveit simcha. They're always looking for the happiness of the moment. So happiness of the moment is when I could ignore the future and I can just have a good time now. So that's lev kisilim, the heart of the fools is beveit simcha. They're always looking for a good time now. So on a Thursday night, they might find themselves out dancing in Ben Yehuda. And if you're thinking about the future, so you find yourself learning. Okay, we're looking to build our future. Yeah?
What about somebody says that you don't have any money if you buy insurance and something like that?
People say a lot of things. We don't always have to worry about that.
Yeah.
What I told you is the response of Moshe Feinstein, the Igros Moshe. Okay.
Yeah.
Not only that. In the response, he discusses that if someone doesn't have medical insurance, we can consider that the need of an impoverished person. Meaning, we collect when a person doesn't have enough money for food to eat, so we collect money to help a person who doesn't have enough money for the medication he needs. So by the same token, he writes in the response, in our day and age, if a person is not going to afford medical insurance, so then you can also consider that charity when you give them the money in order to cover the medical insurance.
In the States, that's
I'm saying in the United States, if you don't pay, you don't have medical insurance.
Okay.
Maybe now it's a little different. I'm saying, so that's his response. So you see, he held that insurance is something that's not only permissible, it's even recommended, to the point where you can consider it charity when you're funding someone else's medical insurance.
10% that you have
you're supposed to take off a tithe? Okay, so you see that. He didn't hold that there's a problem in your faith when you buy insurance. On the contrary. I can't vouch for what people say. I'm giving you the source. You could look it up.
What chapter are
we? We are in what's called the seventh chapter, fifth pasuk of Kohelet. Shlomo Melech says, Tov lishmoa garat chacham meish shomea shir kesilim. Tov, it is better lishmoa, to hear or to listen, to Ga'arat Chacham, the yelling, the scolding of a wise person, Me'ish, from a person, even though he's important, but he is always listening to Shomea Shir Ksilim. He's always listening to all the fools who tell him how great he is. So we all like hearing people who tell us we're great. It's a lot of fun. But it's much better for a person when someone smart scolds him or chastises him and says, hey buddy, no, this is wrong. That's to our benefit. That's when a person can grow. We aren't on that level. It's very hard for us. The Talmud says, in the days of the Talmud, they weren't on that level. The Talmud says, in order for a person to succeed in learning, so he has to be willing to also accept rebuke. Otherwise, he's not going to grow. And then the Talmud says, a wise person, it's a verse in Proverbs, a wise person loves the person who rebukes him. And then the Talmud says, but we're not on that level in their day. The Talmud says, we don't love a person who rebukes us. So they weren't embarrassed to say it. They said, that's where we should be, but that's not where we are. But this gives us insight into something we discussed earlier in the week, when Hashem rebukes Sarah Imenu, and Hashem rebukes Sarah for laughing. So Sarah Imenu was on that level. She was on the level where she was appreciative and thankful and recognized the good in hearing the rebuke from above. We don't want to, because we're not on that level, but she was. A person always has to worry about those people who compliment him, those people who are so nice on the outside. The Talmud tells us about Yanai HaMelech. There was a king named Yanai who became a Sadducee. He left the tradition. In today's day and age, we'd call him, he became a Reformed Jew. Why do you laugh? I'm serious. What's the difference? The Sadducees said, we're not accepting the oral law. We're going to do the Torah the way we see fit. What's the difference between that and the Reformed movement? Maybe they were a little more pious, because they did say the Torah came from heaven and the Reform movement says it doesn't. They kept kosher the way they understood. They kept the Torah the way they understood. They didn't go with tradition. You know, on Shabbos they'd sit in a room and not budge from the room, because it says, Al Yetze Ish Mim Komo, don't leave your place. So our tradition is, your place means your city, means 2,000 feet around your city. They didn't go with tradition. The Sadducees would hang up tzitzis all around the house because it says, Uri Semoso, you should see the tzitzis. So they'd hang up tzitzis all around the house.
Is it written somewhere?
No. It's written in the Talmud that the Sadducees did not go with our tradition. So I'm saying, in a certain sense, they were more pious than the Reform movement today, because they at least accepted that the Torah came from above. Mm-hmm. They didn't accept the oral tradition. Like the Karaites, right. Yeah. The Rambam says it's one of and the same. The Rambam writes that the Karaites and the Sadducees are the same. At any rate, back to our story. So Yanai was lying on his deathbed, and his wife was taking over the kingdom. So she said to him, I'm worried about the rabbis. They know that we became Sadducees. He said, don't worry about them. They're pious people. They won't touch you. So she said, then what am I supposed to worry about? So he said, what you're supposed to worry about are the people who look like they're your friends, and in their hearts they're your enemies. You have people who, on the outside, they show that they're pious, but on the inside, they're wicked. These are people who, osim ma'aseh zimri, the term he used was, they behave like Zimri did. Remember, Zimri was the prince who went and slept with the Midianite girl. And Dorshim Sachar Kipinchas, and then they come by and say they're pious like Pinchas, who killed him, and say we should get wages like him. So he said, those are the people you should worry about. So that's over here. Shlomo Amel says, a person grows when someone's honest and tells them how to grow. And we all like when people are pleasant and talk to us nicely and tell us how great we are. And that's the weakness of Shomea Shir Ksilim, the person who is listening to the song of the fools. And that's where Yanai warned his wife, when people are complimentary to you and they're so nice to you, be careful. Pasuk Vav. Ki chiko lasirim ta'achat asir, kein sechok ha-kesil, gam zeh havel. Ki kekol asirim tachat asir. So the literal meaning of the pasuk is, just like the sirim. What are sirim? So we would say sirim are the pots. Tachat asir, under the pot. What's he talking about? Just like the pots under the pot. So the truth is, it's a play on wood, on words. Excuse me. It's a play on wood because the word seer in Hebrew also means wood. The word seer means a thorn bush, the wood of a thorn bush, which is something that's very dry, doesn't have any leaves. So, kekol asirim, just like the noise of the thorn branches as they burn, you hear them cackle, right? You hear the crackle of the thorn bush. Kekol asirim tachat asir, as they're burning under the pot, kein sechok hakesil. So too is the laughter of the fool. What's he trying to say? Listen for a rhythm in the cackle of the fire under the pot. You'll never catch a rhythm. Try to get a beat. Try to get any consistency. No, it's just noise. Cackle, 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 cackle. Nothing organized. You can't even call it music. You can't call it rhythm. You can't call it a beat. You can't use it for anything. So is the laughter of the fool. That the fool, there's no order to his laughter. You never know when he'll appreciate you, when he won't appreciate you, when he'll say good things, when he'll say bad things. There used to be someone who used to stand outside the machon. This goes back many years ago, over a decade ago, who used to collect money. And he wasn't 100% sane. And he was pretty embittered, but I didn't know all that. So I walked by, and I tried to give him a donation. I saw other people giving him a donation. I figured, I'll give him a donation. I saw he wasn't accepting it. I saw the guy after me, who knew him, I guess, for years, take the bill and put it in his pocket. So I figured, okay, something's wrong. I'll take the bill, I'll put it in his pocket. I reach forward, just like the guy behind me did, to put the bill in his pocket, and the next thing I know, I'm on the ground, and he's punching me. He's beating the daylights out of me. I'm on the floor, and he's punching me. I didn't know what I did wrong. You know, the other guy put the bill in his pocket. What did I do wrong? You know, I didn't know. But I was fortunate he didn't knock out any teeth because he was hitting me in my face and in my throat and everywhere he could hit. So I ran away, you know. I didn't hit back. I was pretty shocked. And then a friend caught up to me and told me something very smart and scary. He said, you see a person embittered, you see a person who's got problems, if you can easily give him something, you help him. If you have to get involved with him in order to help him, stay away. I couldn't argue with him at the time. You know, after the fact, it sounded very smart. That's the way it is with a fool. There are moments when he's very nice to you. I had a guy come once, and he told me how all the rabbis are worthless but me. So you'd like to hear that, right? I was very scared dealing with him. Because I said, it's only a matter of time. If everyone's worthless, then it's only a matter of time till I become worthless too. You know, so Shlomo HaMelech warns, when the fool is complimentary, when the fool is nice, don't listen. It's no different than the thorn brush burning. You can't predict the next minute it'll make a sound. You can't predict the next minute what he's going to do. So don't, it's very complimentary. You want to listen to it. Don't fall. Ki chekol asirim tachat asir. It's just like the cackling under the pot. So you'll say, but it's burning. It's heating up the pot. Right. There are certain things that the fire is producing. But if you're going to try to take the noise out of it, and do something with it, you won't be able to. The same is true with the speech of the fool. You might have to hire him. You might have to work with him. You might need a lot of things. But when he talks, be very careful. Don't take it. Don't take his compliments to heart. Don't listen to them. Don't be convinced by them. Kein sechok hakesil. That's the way the happiness of the fool works. Gamze havel. Shlomo HaMelech says, this is also havel, however we'll translate havel.
When you say fool, do you mean a joker or the crazy hobo?
No, we're talking about someone who isn't intelligent, who isn't consistent. someone who's a fool. Not a fool very often in Tanakh is someone who will who is gullible. Someone gullible can be very complimentary, and it's very easy to be taken by them. So Shlomo HaMelech is saying, okay, we're looking for happiness. You should realize within this quest for happiness, intelligent people factor their death. Fools factor, how am I going to be happy? Be happier, you're better off hearing an intelligent person scold you than listening to the fools praise you. Now, you'll say, it makes me happy to hear their praise. I want to hear their praise. It's good to hear their praise. Shlomo HaMelech says, no, being that it's inconsistent and nothing real can come of it, so you gain nothing from it. And Shlomo HaMelech says, so this type of happiness is not the happiness you should search. The happiness of having people who are fools compliment you, that's not where you should be looking. You'd be surprised. A lot of people do look for that kind of scenario. There are many, many people who would much rather have false compliments, an environment where at least everyone appreciates me, everyone tells me I'm great, than real growth.
It's a term yes, for it. Surround themselves with yes men.
Ah, okay.
Right?
Say that.
Powerful people, it's the downfall. You know, because nobody tells them what they need to hear.
It's like a problem,
especially if they're powerful and in a position to do favors and everything else.
Yeah. But the truth is that everyone wants it.
Everybody likes to hear good things, but if they really are in touch with what they need, they know that. But that's why it says, make yourself a rob, make yourself a friend. Make yourself someone who will tell you what you don't want to hear. We had this in the earlier class, the tele class today, it came up.
Yeah, that's right.
But, you know, because it isn't natural. You have to be told to do that. Naturally, you know, starts being a little kid, right? Little kids want to be with people who tell them that, right?
Yep.
But at least it feels good.
Pasuk Zayin. Ki ha'oshek Yeholel Chacham. Ki ha'oshek. The word oshek has multiple meanings. Oshek could mean one who withholds wages, one who unfairly withholds payment. Over here, the word oshek is a reference to squabbling. Ki ha'oshek, because by squabbling, by pestering someone intelligent, yeholel chacham, it can confuse a wise person. You have a situation where someone's wise and he's right, and then some fools come and pick on him. And a person can get annoyed. And when he gets annoyed, then he loses his focus and he can make mistakes. Ki ha'oshek, because by annoying someone, by squabbling, by fighting with someone, yeholel chacham, you can confuse even an intelligent person. What's the example of that? Moshe comes to Egypt to take the Jews out of Egypt. And Hashem warns him, it's going to get worse before it gets better. And Moshe comes to Pharaoh, and in fact, Pharaoh decrees that the Jews' work should be made harder. That until now they had provided them with the hay to produce the mortar, and now they're no longer providing them with the hay. They have to produce the same amount of mortar, plus they have to go and gather the hay themselves. So the Jews are being beaten because they can't keep up with such a quota. And along come Dasan and Arviram, the two troublemakers who always come back to haunt Moshe Rabbeinu, and they wag a finger at Moshe. And they say, Yeire Hashem Aleichem V'Yishpot. They're yelling at Moshe and Aaron. God should see what you two did to us. He should punish you for what you did to us. Asher Yivashtem Et Re'echeinu. You made us rotten in the eyes of Pharaoh and his servants, and you gave them the capacity now to make things worse. It's all your fault. So even though they had no case, what do you mean God will see? God sent them. But they got Moshe riled up. And even though they didn't have a case, they were able to confuse Moshe. And in the next conversation with God, Moshe says, God, what'd you send me for? You said things would go good, and look, the things only got worse. And what does God tell him? Okay, I'll show you now how things will get better. And within that sentence is really a punishment. God saying, I'll show you now, but you ain't entering the land of Israel. You're upset you didn't get to see the solution. I'll show you the solution, but you ain't seeing the next solution. So how did Moshe fall? Because some fools came and confused him. They came and yelled at him, and he got confused. Ki ha'oshek. When a person comes, even though it's unfair, he comes and makes claims against someone. He starts yelling at you. He tells a person, you're worthless. You've only caused me trouble. Yeholel chacham. It confuses a smart person. You can be as smart as it gets. Moshe Rabbeinu. But when people yell at you, it's very hard to maintain your focus. At the end of the day, we feel it. And it riles us up. And then a person becomes meholel. He becomes confused. His innards start stirring. V'yabedet lev matanam. And it causes a person to lose that intelligence, which we call matana, that wisdom that Shlomo, throughout the book of Kohelis, calls it a gift. He says the fact that we're granted intelligence is a gift. V'yabedet lev, it causes a person to lose that intelligence, that understanding, which is matana, which is a gift from above. Shlomo has been saying that throughout the book. That even that intelligence to enjoy life is a gift. Meaning you could have a person who isn't granted that gift and he spends his whole life striving to enjoy, but he never enjoys. He says, that's terrible. And then you have a person who realizes, I should enjoy along the way. I shouldn't keep investing in the future. Let's take some pleasure now, and take some pleasure here, and take some pleasure there. He says, that's a gift. To have that intellect, to know that you should enjoy the path, that's a gift. So throughout the book, he calls intelligence a gift. Not everyone's granted the gift. Pasuk Chet. Tov acharit davar mereishito. Shlomo HaMelech says, Tov acharit davar. The conclusion is much better mereishito than the beginning. Tov erech ruach migevah ruach. A person who has patience, and even when he's annoyed, he doesn't enter the fight too quickly. He waits and thinks it through. And even when people pester him, he holds out. He is much better off than someone who is givah ruach, someone who is haughty, someone who is arrogant. And arrogance leads a person to many fights. Again, Tov acharit davar mereishito. The conclusion is much better than the beginning. We tend to celebrate at the conclusion, because at the beginning you never know where it'll get to. You start a day, you don't know how you'll end it. You start a project, you don't know where it'll end. You make an investment, you don't know what'll come of it. People make plans, they don't know where it'll end up. So then, Tov acharit davar, the conclusion is much better mereishito than the beginning. By the same token, it is better that a person holds out and doesn't enter a fight than someone who is arrogant and he's quick to enter a fight. Because when you hold out, you benefit. When you're quick to enter a fight, you don't know what the other guy's packing.
Is it an argument or a fist fight?
So he's talking about, the simple reading is it's a fist fight. Someone once tried to steal my friend's bike. We were riding together. Someone came and tried to steal the bike. So we tried to block him, and he tried to run away with the bike. So as he tried to pedal, I grabbed the back tire, and he went flying off the bike. You know, you try to pedal on a bike and the back tire is being held, so you can't pedal, you lose your balance. He went flying off the bike. So he came back and tried to kick me and tried to hit me, and I never attacked him. I was always on the defensive. So he started calling his friends. This was like a location which was the border between the Jewish community and like the slums. So we were just on the border. My friend lived two houses from the border. And we were just on the border. So he's calling his friends from the other side of town. So I had said, the second the story began, I had said to a third friend, go call the police. And Baruch Hashem, just at the right moment, a siren went off, a police car was driving somewhere. So this guy panicked. He was sure the police were coming for him. He didn't think that, you know, that was just about 30 seconds ago. There's no way it happened. He ran. So then someone who was standing there said, why were you always on the defensive? Why didn't you go and give him a punch? So I said, I didn't know what he had under his shirt. I didn't know if he had a knife or he had a gun. I didn't know. So to take the bike, I'm not about to let him take it so fast. If he's going to kick me, I'll defend myself. But I should go and hit him? I don't know. I'm not going to start with him. You start with someone, you don't know what he's packing. You don't know what's under the shirt. So Shlomo HaMelech says, Tov erech ruach, because the beginning of the pasuk, because until the end, you don't know how something will play itself out. You only know the beginning. You start a fight, you don't know where it'll get to. So, tov erech ruach, you're much better off having patience, because even in a fight, migivah ruach, someone who's arrogant and will start a fight, well, he doesn't know where he'll end up. He's quick to enter the fight, but he doesn't know where he'll end up. There was once a guy walking to the Kotel, and a guy came and asked him for money. So he gave the guy half a shekel. He continues walking, and suddenly he feels a thud on his back. He turns around, and he sees the half shekel falling to the floor. So he looks back at the guy, and he says, you don't want my half shekel? So the guy starts cursing at him and says, a half a shekel, that's all you could give me? So he looks at him and says, but what's wrong with a half a shekel? So he says, you know, on an average day, people here give me 700, 1,000 shekel. You can give me a half a shekel? So the guy says, you mean to tell me you can get 1,000 shekel here? He says, on an average day, I get more than 1,000 shekel standing here. How could you give me a half a shekel? The guy said, very interesting. He pulled out a badge. He was a collector for the IRS, the Israeli IRS, and he took him in. You don't know. You know, you start a fight, you don't know where it'll end. You don't know. Shlomo HaMelech warns, when a person's arrogant, he doesn't know. He's willing to enter... What? He's willing to enter... Pasuk Tet. Al tevael beruchacha lichos. Don't be quick to anger. Now, Shlomo HaMelech words this very... Notice the wording. It's very interesting. Al tevahel beruchacha lichos. Don't be quick in your spirit to anger. What's he saying? Meaning, you feel yourself getting angry, but don't be quick about it. What's he saying? Al tevahel beruchacha lichos. Don't be quick in your spirit to anger.
What means anger? It means to take revenge. It means to...
You're talking already the next step.
Acting. Let's see. Okay, so we'll see the next part of the pasuk. Ki achas b'chei kesilim yanuach. Because anger is something that fools hold with them. So you shouldn't be quick to... Don't let your spirit be quick to anger. Your spirit... shouldn't be quick to anger.
It's so, a gift. I mean, I see somebody stay in the middle of, like, they stay. So move a little bit.
Right, if that has to accept it, that's not recommended. That's exactly what we're talking about.
I must give that power to don't disturb me, but sometimes I don't have it.
If someone was going to give you 500 shekel, If you were going to sit there and smile at him, you wouldn't say move so fast.
I don't know. If I don't have that power, we can give you 1 million.
Romanella is saying you're going to get more than 500 shekels in the next world and a tarot to growth in this world. Don't waste your time.
He has that word. But...
Say, though, it's interesting because he's saying your spirit. He's not even saying act on it. He says, hey, Hashem, put this obstacle maybe in front of you and don't jump to get lose it. It seems that way.
He's also not saying don't get angry. He's saying don't be quick to anger. Right. So there are things that are worth getting angry about.
There's things that are going to get you angry. I don't know if it's worth it always. The things of righteous indignation. But you have to define anger. If anger means losing it, losing control, I think they tell you never.
I don't think anger means losing control.
Okay.
I think anger means anger.
Yeah, there are times to get, obviously.
For example, let's say you're dealing with your kid. And your kid did something that's really wrong.
Right.
You don't want to react in anger, but you need to show them.
Right, but that's accurate. But they're talking, we think the 19th bracha, right, the Shmuel Esrei, Shmuel HaKatan, the slanderers have the whole, very hard to find someone to do that without a personal axe to grind. In other words, to not be angry a little bit, but that's the goal, I think, for the sake of Hashem, I think. I mean, that's the way it was taught in one of these classes.
What did you say, Rabbi?
What say you, Rabbi?
Okay, so I think that if we go back to what we've been discussing, so the simple understanding is the nature of man is he gets angry. The guy in front of him is slow in the line, so move! The car is driving slowly, you honk your horn. Nature gets us angry. Meaning, and our nature is to express that anger. Comes Shlomo HaMelech and says, and this is the point I wanted us to stand on, Al tevahel beruchacha, don't be quick in your spirit, lichos, to anger. Or we might say to express anger. That's a discussion among the commentaries here, whether the word lichos literally means to anger altogether, meaning or to express that anger. There's a difference. But I think that there's another point here. Shlomo is revealing to us, I think, even though the commentaries don't say it overtly, I think Shlomo is revealing to us the mechanisms of what happens when we get angry. And let's dissect the mini seconds. Let's go down to what really happens. We're driving, and the guy in front of us is slow.
Talking to the phone.
And you want to go. And he's not letting you go. Mm-hmm. So there are a few things that happen. Number one is, what do I want? Number two is, he's in my way. What's number three?
How can this be happening to me? It's a little arrogant, because... You know, I think this guy is being wrong, but he's the messenger. Somehow, I'm not at that level when it's happening, but I know, I try to think afterwards, you know, not honking your horn in 1 minute is the right thing to do. Of course, it's better if you're at the level where you're going to go out and punch him. It's better to honk your horn. That's where you're holding. but I think there's a touch of arrogance there. How could this be happening to me? But again, you know, I'm not saying it's normal people will get annoyed. It's just, you know, to be quick to anger, even, it's not a good thing. I mean, you know that, right?
I think there's a stage that Shlomo's referring to. And I think there's a stage at which we're conscious of the anger that's building up within us, and we consciously let it build. And then there's a stage where we consciously let it out. Now, those are two starting points. They're not end points. Meaning, when I'm driving and I see the car, I want, he's in my way. We said that's step one and two. I want something, someone else or something else is in my way. Step three, I think, is the anger naturally starts building. And at that moment, I have a choice. I can let it continue building, or let's take a simple scenario. Your mother or your wife is sitting next to you in the car, puts her hand on your hand and says, there, Arnold, easy does it. So what do? You explode, right? Okay, so, but let's imagine for a minute that that's not what happens. You're right. Let's imagine for a minute that let's imagine for a minute that one has only one day with his mother. He works in the military in the Antarctic, and he was given one day to come visit his mother. And as he's about to get annoyed, his mother tells him, "You know, honey, we have one day. Isn't it a pity to get upset today? You know, let's enjoy the time we have together. So we're going slowly. Let's enjoy the time together." He thinks about it for a minute. He says, "You're right. We can control our emotions. There, the first split, like we said, step one, I won. Step two, that's in my way. Step three, I feel the anger building up and I let it because I say it's right. I'm willing to say I'm right." So that's, I think, when Shlomo HaMelech says, "Al tevahel beruchacha," don't be quick in your spirit. He's telling us, you have control. You know, we speak in a car about turbo, right? How fast does it go from 0 to 60 or 0 to 120? The same is true about our anger. How fast do I go? You know, so some people, he's going slow. Within a second, they're honking the horn. You know, that's it. The guy barely realized he was going slowly and they're hitting the horn. Okay? But I'm not one of those guys. I gave him a few seconds. I came close to the tail end of his car. I went back. I came close. I turned on the light. I turned on the flash. You know, I tried waving nicely. I'm one of those calm guys. I do it slowly, but he isn't getting the hint. So now now I feel the anger is about to, starting to rise. And I'm wondering how many honks is it going to take for him to get it. So I want to put a nice smile on my face and just do a little tap on the horn. But what's happening inside? I've put the release button. I basically said, "You're right in getting angry. In the words of Aviel, this shouldn't be happening to me," but I've basically given permission. I've said, "Go ahead, get angry." And that's the moment I think Shlomo HaMelech is talking about. Al tevahel beruchacha, don't be quick in your spirit. He's saying, you have control of that moment. Put a pause on it. So that's number one. There is the option of interpreting it, al tevahel beruchacha, as some of the commentators say, it's talking about the moment you're going to express it, not the moment you get angry inside. Some commentaries want to learn that the kas over here is not the feeling of anger, but the expression of anger. And that what Shlomo HaMelech is saying is, ki chas becheik kisilim yanuach, the fools, you always see their anger. It's always ready to be expressed. If he's upset at something, he'll tell you. But you shouldn't be like that. Don't let yourself express it quickly. Like you pointed out, there comes a time. Maybe it's right to express anger. But don't be quick. I think we should take this to another scenario, which is very, very common, and it also gives us some tools how to deal with this. You make up with your wife that you won't overspend the budget. You tell her, "Look, we want to get a mortgage. They're following our accounts. If we want to get that mortgage for the house, we really can't go into minus the next 3 months." So the first month, she slips and she goes 20 shekel into minus, and you hope the banks won't hold that against you. And she goes 20 shekel out of the misgeret, out of the agreement you have with the bank, and you sit down and you talk to her nicely and everything's calm and couldn't think. Comes the second month, you see the statement, and suddenly you see she went 10,000 shekel out of... Look at the statement and you see red. And you don't know what to do. You start shaking. You look at it and you say, "You know, we spoke about it." And you don't know. And you're waiting until she gets home. And you're pacing. And you say, "I'm not going to do this to her while she's in the car. She's driving. She knows I'm going to wait till she comes home." Okay. Now what? So if you'd call me, I'd say, "Don't say anything today. Wait till tomorrow." On most issues, if you can wait a day, you'll be able to approach it differently. If you can say, I don't want to discuss it today. Look, let's wait.
If you can get sleep.
Look, that's why my example isn't such a good example. Because she's going to walk through the door. She's going to look at your face and she's going to say, what's wrong? And you're going to say, oh, nothing. And she'll say, no, no, no. I know something's wrong. And then I say, I don't want to talk about it. And she'll say, no, you can't do that to me. And then, right. That's why my example wasn't a realistic example. It wasn't such a good example. But let's take a simpler example. You know, you had your favorite ice cream in the freezer, and it's gone. Okay, so it's not such a big deal. But you are wondering, hey, wait a second, she could have shared it with me, you know. You see, it's gone. You want to ask her, you know, what happened? You can wait a day. When you wait a day, by taking that control, al tevahel beruchacha, so you're sitting for the supper, and at the end of the supper, you go over to the freezer, you open the freezer, and it's not there. So you say, okay, I'm not going to say anything, but I want to say something. But at least I should ask. Maybe it's somewhere else. Maybe I don't remember where I put it. No, wait. If you wait that day, most often, you'll come to a conclusion, I shouldn't say anything. And that control, I'm suggesting that Shlomo HaMelech broke down the anger. He didn't say, Al tevahel lichos, don't be quick to anger. He added a word. He said, don't be quick within your spirit to anger. And my understanding, I'm suggesting, is that he's saying, you have within your spirit, you have that range. There's that time when you make a conscious decision, I'm going to get upset. And if you can catch it beforehand, then you've caught the whole thing. Most often, a person has a moment when he decides, I am going to get upset, I am going to yell. That's the moment when he has the most control. Afterwards, there are moments when he doesn't, moments when he doesn't. Because once you've started, it's very hard to stop. That doesn't mean you don't have control, but there are moments when a person is like in the schwung of things, and then there are moments where he could stop. Shlomo says, don't be quick in your spirit to anger. You think you're right. Maybe you are right. Kichas bechek selim yanuach. That's one of the traits of the fool. I want to end with another point, a practical point. Very often people have issues with their employers. A person gets his paycheck and something seems wrong. I know a guy, he was working a whole month. He was supposed to get 6,000-7,000 shekel on his paycheck. He gets his paycheck, it says 300 shekel. Okay, at the end of the month, that's a little bit of a surprise. It's his first month there. So now there are two ways to react. One way is you come to the boss and you say, this does say 300. The other way is to come to the boss and say, I really don't understand what happened here. You're going to express your anger. Stop. Stop, wait, pause. I say, wait a day. Well, what's going to happen if you react tomorrow? Wait a day. Calm down. Think about what's the best way to go. Maybe you shouldn't go to the boss. Maybe you should go to the accountant. Who said you should knock on the boss's door over this? Maybe you should figure out, maybe it's the manager you should talk to. If you're going to react now, chances are you're not going to make the right decision, you're not going to present it the right way, you're not going to present to the right person. I have a friend. He was orphaned from all his family at a young age. He didn't have a relative, except for certain relatives who tried stealing the little bit of money he had left. That was all he had left in life. Wonderful relatives. So he needed a job. So there were some kind people. He made a few phone calls. We got him in on a job. He had a good income. He was able to rent an apartment. Okay. Seems good. A year later, I get a phone call. He doesn't have a job. So I asked other people who were helping him, what happened to their original job? They were so nice. They appreciated him, and they weren't going to fire him, even if he did a better job, a worse job. They understood the guy has no place to fall back on. So they said, well, he got annoyed once, walked into the boss and yelled at him. Got annoyed twice, walked into the boss and yelled at him. And by the third time, the boss said, you know, I can't work like this. Okay, so you talk to the guy, you explain it to him, you try to explain it to him. You make some more phone calls, you get some more leads, he gets a second job. Sticks to the job a year and a half, same story. Lost the job. I wasn't about to work on getting him a third job. Maybe it's wrong of me, but kas b'chik selim yanuach. Anger is something that the fool is ready to throw out at other people. It's always ready to be thrown. An intelligent person holds in his anger, waits and thinks about how to express, when to express, where to express. This people very often make tragic decisions that can affect their relationship with the landlord, that can affect their relationship with their employer. People can say tragic things because they let their anger take hold of them. And how many times have people said a sentence like telling their own child, don't walk back into this house again, out of anger? And they're legitimate in being angry. They're not legitimate in letting go of that stop button. Letting go, levahel beruchacha, letting the spirit run forward. So this is work, but it's work that pays off in every realm of life. So what do we see today? We began with the wise man thinks of the house of mourning. The fool is only thinking about getting happiness now. It's better to hear the scolding of a wise man than the praise of the fool, because the fool is like the noise of the thorns under the pot. It's unpredictable, it's inconsistent, and even though it makes you feel good in the short run, in the long run that's not true happiness, nothing good's going to come of it. A person has to realize that when you're in close proximity with the fool, while you enjoy his praise, you can be prepared that he will also distract you, annoy you, yell at you illegitimately. And even if you're smart, that yelling can distract you, can confuse you, just as it did to Moshe. And then a person loses that intelligence, which is a gift he was given from above. A person has to realize that the end is much better than the beginning. Even though in the beginning the fool's praising you was pleasant, but where does it end up if he yells at you and confuses you and causes a person to make grave errors? A person is much better off having patience than being arrogant. And the fool doesn't understand that. He doesn't have patience. Don't be quick to anger. The fool is quick to anger. And that's why the fool might end up yelling at you very fast, just because he was praising you for a while. But where does it end up? In the end, he may be very quick to anger and express that anger. And that's as far as we got today.
Quick question.
Just one second. How do we stop this?
The red circle.
This is the red circle?